You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
He's the first one resurrected, and many more are coming. What does that mean? Amen. But the fact is that Christ did actually rise from the dead and has become the first of millions who will come back to life again someday. Christ the first fruits. He was the pattern. He was the template. He was the first one under the new covenant. And now there's millions of resurrections to come, and I'm looking at a bunch of them right now.
An open invitation is extended to all who will listen in the expanse of God's kingdom. If you're tired of going through the motions and want to live for a greater purpose, Pastor Jeff has a message for you. By simply surrendering your heart to the Lord, you can join Him in His kingdom and secure your place in eternity. It's not an exclusive club with rigid criteria. God desires you to be saved from eternity in darkness and despair. His invitation is for anyone and everyone. Step into His boundless love. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as he begins his message, "We Too Shall Rise."
I want to talk about the resurrection from an angle that is a little bit different, because I'm calling this today, "We Too Shall Rise." Now, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Paul says, "I passed on to you right from the first what had been told to me, that Christ died for our sins just as the Scriptures said He would, and that He was buried," but it didn't stop there. 3 days afterward, He arose from the grave just as the prophets foretold. So Jesus' resurrection was prophetic fulfillment. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your word today. And I pray the resurrection is made more real to us than ever before. We rejoice, Lord, that You are risen from the dead. And because of that, we have hope. Now, Lord, quicken us. Quicken this crowd and those watching online, those listening later by radio and social media. Thank You for making Your word come alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him He is risen. Christians are celebrating the greatest event in the history of the world, and that is the resurrection of Christ from the grave. That is the single greatest defining moment in the history of the world. Jesus rising from the dead. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is the hinge upon which Christianity swings. That's it. The resurrection. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. The empty tomb is the irrefutable proof of Christ's deity, that He was not just any standard run-of-the-mill religious teacher or preacher, but Jesus got up from the dead. Muhammad didn't get up from the dead. Buddha didn't get up from the dead. No Eastern religion, Indian God got up from the dead. Only Christ claims to have gotten up from the dead. Matter of fact, He said He was going to get up from the dead, and the Bible roundly declares that Jesus arose on the third day. Amen. Now, His resurrection also validated everything that He ever said. Because if He doesn't get up, then He's not real. It's not true. He was not who He said He was. Because Jesus was very clear. He said, "I am that I am," which is a term for God. He claimed to be the prophesied Messiah. He said it straight up. But if He doesn't get up from the grave, then He's phony. He's fake. And there is no Christianity. But Jesus was the prophesied Messiah, the Savior of the world. And the Bible testifies that not only the Old Testament prophets predicted that Jesus would rise from the dead, because many of them did. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Old Testament prophets said He was going to get up, but Jesus predicted His own resurrection. He said it Himself, openly, publicly. He said it out loud to great crowds and to His disciples alone. "I'm going to get up from the dead." As his crucifixion drew near, the Bible records, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Jesus said that. They're going to kill me, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Now, folks, most anybody else that went around saying that after I die, I'm going to be getting up again on the third day. We look for the nearest padded cell because something is wrong up here because dead people don't get up again. Can I say it again? Dead people don't get up again. Not normally. But in this verse that I just read, Jesus not only predicts his resurrection, but when, where, and how it would happen. It's going to be by the religious leaders, by the teachers, scribes, Pharisees, those that open up the Bible every Sabbath and read it to the people. They're the ones who are going to orchestrate my death. Mark records him saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the priests, and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. There he goes again. And again, following his transfiguration on the mount, when he took Peter, James, and John up to the top of the mountain with him, and his face was transformed, where his face shone like the brilliant sun in the skies. And when he came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded his disciples, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. When I get up again, you can tell it. When I rise from the dead, you can tell it. He told them repeatedly, I'm going to rise again. He was even known by his enemies as the one who touted this fact, this claim. It says after his crucifixion, his enemies went to Pilate. And he said, and they said to him, sir, we remember how that imposter said while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. So the scuttlebutt out there in the community, everywhere, even the enemies of Christ knew that his claim was that he would rise from the dead. So they asked for a guard of soldiers to be put around the tomb to keep him in. But as they say, you can't keep a good man down. Right? They said, we got to keep him in. But you can't keep Jesus down. You can't keep Jesus dead. He got up again. Now, why does this matter so much? Why are we here making this big deal about Jesus' resurrection? And why the big deal? What is this all about? Here's why. Because if the resurrection of Jesus weren't true, there'd be no Christian faith. We wouldn't be here today. We'd be lost in our sins, dying in our sins. And there would be no hope of eternal life. Because Jesus got up, it gives us the hope of eternal life, life that lasts forever. In 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, Paul argues why the resurrection of Christ is so important. He said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ must still be dead. And if he is still dead, then all of our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is empty and worthless and hopeless. Useless preaching, useless faith, if Christ is not risen. It's all a game, a scam, a religious facade, if he's not risen. And we apostles, Paul goes on to say, are just a bunch of liars because we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. This is why they got arrested. The apostles were arrested over and over again. Why? Not just because they preached that Jesus died on the cross, but they preached the resurrection. And because everywhere they went, they preached the resurrection. That was part and parcel of their message. They didn't leave Jesus on the cross. They said he died on the cross for your sins. But then 3 days later, he got up from the dead. And that's why they arrested them. And he says, you are very foolish to keep on trusting God if Christ is not risen. For you are still under condemnation for your sins. But then Paul delivers the good news in verse 20. He says, but here's a fact. Let me give you a fact. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And Paul gave his entire life, as well as the other disciples. They gave their lives 11 of the 12 were martyred. Paul was martyred. They gave their lives. You don't give your life for a lie. You don't give your life for a myth. You don't give your life for a fable. You don't give your life if you're trying to pull something over on people. No, you don't die for it, but they all died for it. Terrible deaths because they preached Christ, him crucified, and Christ risen from the dead. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Now listen, there's a second half to this verse, and I want to home in on that second half. Here's what it reads. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means died. The first fruits. Christ was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or died. Well, what does that mean? Well, first fruits was an agrarian term used by farmers to mean the earliest crop of the year, the first of much more to come. Christ was the first fruits. Risen from the dead, Christ resurrected was the first resurrection of much more to come. He's the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits. Now, let me tell you where I'm going with this. One of the great messages that encapsulated in the gospel of Christ is not just that you're going to go to heaven one day, but that your body is going to be resurrected just like his. He's the first fruits. He's the first fruits. He's the first one resurrected, and many more are coming. What does that mean? Amen. But the fact is that Christ did actually rise from the dead and has become the first of millions who will come back to life again someday. Christ, the first fruits. He was the pattern. He was the template. He was the first one under the new covenant. And now there's millions of resurrections to come, and I'm looking at a bunch of them right now. Amen. One of the bedrock promises of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that not only is our soul saved, but that we also will be resurrected from the grave. And if we happen to be here still alive when Jesus returns, we're still going to be resurrected and caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, Jesus' resurrection guarantees the future resurrection of all believers. I want you to know today that if you were to die today in Christ, with faith in Christ, we're not saying goodbye to you permanently. It's a temporary goodbye, because one day a trumpet is going to blow and the dead in Christ are going to be resurrected from the grave, because he was the first fruits. He was the first fruits. Another version puts it this way. Christ has been raised from the dead. He was the first one to be raised from the dead, and all those who are in graves will follow. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, who have died with faith in Jesus, will God bring with him. Amen. So folks, there is a mass resurrection coming, and one of the reasons we celebrate the resurrection of Christ is not just that it validated who he was, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, but it also guarantees that one day there's going to be a mass resurrection of millions of people, because he was the first fruit of many that are yet to come. Amen. Not just our souls were saved when we came to Jesus Christ, but our bodies are going to be resurrected at the return of Christ. Listen to this. We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Can I read that again? This needs to excite you. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body. When was the last time you looked in the mirror and said, lowly? Right? But the Bible says he's going to transform our lowly body. And what is he going to transform it into? To be like his glorious body. We're going to get a resurrected body. Now you say, well, what does that mean? Well, I can only tell you that it says like his. It says it'll be like his. Well, what was his like? Well, Jesus thought and he was there. There was no mass transit. There was no need for transportation. He thought and he was there. A glorified body like his, it says like his. That means no more sickness, no more pain, no more cancer, no more heart disease, No more depression. No more anguish. No more angst. No more worry. No more COVID. No more nothing. Because it'll be a glorified body like his. When it came time for him to go to heaven, he lifted up his hands and up he went. He ascended into glory. We are going to receive a glorified body just like his. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. Neither did John. John said, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We've got a resurrection day coming, church. This is just the beginning. This belief in a future mass resurrection is all through the Bible. This is not new. All through the Word of God, the Holy Bible, Old and New Testaments, it talks about the day when there will be a mass resurrection of millions of people from the grave. Daniel wrote, "And many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake to everlasting life." Daniel said that. Old suffering Job testified, "After my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God." Well, wait a minute, Job. You just said your body was decayed. So what body is it that's going to see God? A resurrected body. Isaiah said, "Your dead will live." Catch this. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. "You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy." That's saying that when the resurrection happens, millions of people are coming out of their graves shouting for joy, saying this, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" Because Jesus has overcome the greatest enemy that mankind has ever known, and that's the enemy of death. And Jesus defeated death when he rose from the dead. Now I know some of you are thinking, "Well, Jeff, wait a minute. How can a body that has been dead for years, maybe even centuries, how's it ever going to get up again? How's it ever going to come back together? Because it'll be dust by then. It's just ashes by then. And how will God raise ashes into a glorified body? What about those cremated? What about those that the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, they haven't been resurrected yet, and their bodies, wherever they are, they're just ashes now. How will God make all that happen? How will he raise them? Really glad you asked me. I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself. The Bible says, "Using the same power with which he will bring everything else under his control, he will take our weak mortal bodies and not only transform them, but completely refashion them so that they will be like his glorious resurrected body." The answer is, using the same power with which he's going to bring everything under his rule and reign. Because I got to tell you, folks, it's not going to be a Republican. It's not going to be a Democrat. It's not going to be a libertarian. It's not going to be a despot that runs the world. It's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Yes, I'm looking forward to when Jesus rules with a scepter of righteousness. And he won't be voted in, he'll be set in. A monarch, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, forever and forever and forever. Using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. The same power that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Said, "Let the birds fly in the air," and they were there. The power of the spoken word of God. And he will call believers from 20 centuries ago up to now out of the grave. And they will receive resurrected bodies instantly. Amen. 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 Paul says, well, even Jesus said, and I remind you of this. Jesus said, "I'm going to come back. And I'm going to come like a thief in the night, unexpectedly, suddenly." When this great resurrection happens all over the world, it's going to be quick, it's going to be sudden, it's going to be unexpected, it's going to take people by surprise. The Bible says, I was reading it this morning in my devotional, two will be sleeping in a bed, one taken, another left. Two will be working in a field, one will be taken, the other left. two will be working, grinding at the mill. In other words, doing manual labor. One will be taken and the other left. That's Luke. I read it in Luke this morning. That's what Christ said. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The flood was sudden. Jesus said, I'm coming back. And Paul writes, but listen, I tell you this secret. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. There it is again. I'm looking forward to that change. Amen. God's going to give you a body that curves could never give you. Can I say it? No more dieting. No more worried about calories. He says, we will all be changed. The Greek word metamorphuo, metamorphosis, a radical change. We'll be changed. He goes on, it will only take the time of a second. We will be changed as quickly as an eye blinks. This will happen when the last trumpet blows. The last trumpet. In Bible times, the trumpet was used to summon an assembly or to sound a warning. The last trumpet is the one that not only precedes a mass resurrection of believers from the grave, but the trumpet that concludes a series of trumpet blasts of warnings to the nations. This last trumpet will warn the nations. The Bible continues in verse 53, the trumpet will blow and those who have died will be raised to live forever and we will all be changed. What an incredible promise. Nobody promised it more than Jesus. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear it will live. Taking four words out of that verse, the dead will live. Will hear his voice. Remember when Lazarus was raised? Dead 4 days and nights. Everywhere Jesus went, he never preached a good funeral because he always raised them from the dead. He raised the widow's son out of a casket in the village of Nain. Poor mother had lost her husband. She's weeping over the loss of her son. Jesus spies the funeral procession from a distance. He walks up to the casket. He says, stop. And he stopped the procession. And he reached in and touched the body of this young man. And he was instantly raised from the dead. Jesus ruined every funeral. He raised people. The weepers had to turn into laughers because Jesus took all the weeping away. He raised the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, and presented her back to her parents. He raised Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha in Bethany after he had been dead for four long days, dead, embalmed, in grave clothes, in a tomb with a stone rolled over it. Dead as dead could be. And Jesus spoke into the tomb. And Lazarus, the dead man, heard his voice and sat up and stood up. A dress rehearsal of what's coming. Yes. The same voice that called Lazarus out is going to call you out and me out. He told Mary and Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anybody who believes in me will live even after dying.
Amidst the relentless journey of this life, there exists an undeniable source of power. The unyielding strength of Christ. In today's message, Pastor Jeff shared that you need to embrace this power to ascend from the ashes of your past and transcend into the intentional person you're destined to be. Let the unyielding force of Jesus guide your evolution, shape every step, and mold you into the purposeful individual you've always been deep down inside.
For more teachings and information about this ministry, we encourage you to check out hardwired.org. Pastor Jeff Wickwire has many more messages there. You'll find them under the audio tab. This will surely help you be encouraged in the Word. Once again, that's hardwired.org. We want to invite you to come back again next time for another teaching from Pastor Jeff. Daniel has more on that, giving you something to look forward to.
In your quest for hope and assurance, do you ever question where your eternal destination lies? Are you searching for newfound assurance about what's next after this life? In the next installment of Hardwired, Pastor Jeff urges you to champion the perfect grace of Jesus. Amidst life's uncertainties, Jesus offers a steadfast anchor for your soul. His grace is not a distant promise, but a present reality, ready to transform your journey. That's all we have for today's edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. If you'd like a copy of today's message, you can download it from our website, hardwired.org. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor Jeff continues teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians next time on Hardwired.